Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. You should send your questions about cleaning, or anything else really, to joliecare@gmail.com. My guest today is John Januzzi. Hey, John.
Hello, everyone.
It's good to see you again, John.
Yes. I feel like I'm having deja vu.
You a little bit are. So you guys, we had a clean cast disaster, a clean castaster. I was like, as it was coming out, I was like, am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to nail that one? So you guys, John is a hero because he is back here on a Saturday morning to re-record episode 102 with me because we recorded on Thursday and the files disappeared.
That's true. We have no idea what happened.
Last day of Capricorn season is
yes,
what happened.
That's what we have decided. We are now in Aquarius season,
woo!
Which we were just discussing is... amazing.
It's a great season.
We woke up on different sides of the bed. Mm-hmm. It's all new leaves being turned over. The weather's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
All my enemies have mysteriously been vanquished.
Yes.
Overnight.
I actually quite literally woke up on the other side of the bed.
Would you care to explain that a little?
Yes, I will. So you guys, the weirdest thing about losing the files for episode 102 is that we did not lose the bonus episode that we recorded on Thursday.
The bonus Jonas remains.
So in the bonus episode that you're going to hear, it's basically like time has gone backwards. You're going to hear me say I'm going on a date tomorrow, which I went on yesterday.
Yeah.
And so today, I literally was like, why do they always take my side of the bed? quite literally woke up on the other side of the bed.
I've been very resolute about what side of the bed mine is. And I've been banished to the other side. Not that it's bad. I just like that side better because it's easier access to the bathroom. But
yeah. Well, also, it was like, it's clearly my side. It's got all my stuff.
It's also, it's like... whatever. Aquarius season.
Anyway, so you guys, I tell you all that to tell you that this episode may be a little bit funny for us because it's we've already done this, but also it's Saturday morning. I'm like a giggling wreck right now because I had a really, really great date last night. I did not get a lot of sleep. I might still be drunk. I'm not really sure.
I do have to admit, I went out last night too, and I have not had. I woke up. It wasn't like a hammer to the head hangover. It was like a fucking sledgehammer.
No,
and like it was so pounding. And I think I can't remember. It was on the bonus episode where we talked about The Craft, movie.
Was it the bonus or was it?
I don't know. But
I can't remember.
Long story short. I was watching The Craft previously and I passed out. So I got it like halfway through. And we all know The Craft is you girls look out for those weirdos. We are the weirdos. Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Teen coven of witches. It's a ridiculous movie, but it's also
amazing.
Fantastic.
My people, a movie about my people.
So I came home last night and we picked it up again. And I was told I watched maybe... like 4 minutes of it before I passed out in a like tequila snooze.
The tequila will get you every time.
Well, I don't know what it was about last night, but I was like ravenous for it. And then we had like one glass of wine with dinner after that. And we came home and
it was all over. Well, you know what's not all over? you know, it's just the beginning. It's episode 102. So you guys, we gotta dive into this episode. I mean, I'm sure everybody is like thrilled to hear about our hangovers.
Yeah.
I know.
It's nice to meet you all.
Thrilled to talk about it. Let me tell you guys who John is. John is the editorial director at Bonobos. He's also my pal.
Yes, good pals.
Prior to that, he worked at GQ and Kate Spade and also Twitter. And he also is a fellow gym rat. So we over in the bonus episode that we've already recorded, we did a bunch of gym ranting.
Mm-hmm.
We eulogized the all in the hairpin. That was great. I loved that.
Yeah, that was really special.
And today in this episode, we are going to be talking all about winter shoe care because 'tis the season, even though it's a beautiful day today.
I know. It'll come back.
Before we get into it, I want to remind you that I offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to my premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite my show by becoming an Ask a Clean Person the Podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to help support my show. Speaking of patrons, I have a bunch of new patrons. Thank you guys. But I'm going to start doing all of the patron thanks at the first episode of a new month. So I'll do that the first episode of February. My episodes are getting a little long and I want to tighten things up. Obviously, we've totally blown that because we just bantered for so long. But as I said, this is kind of going to be a little bit of a weird feeling of this episode because we're both a little weird feeling
I feel really comfortable with all you guys, so I mean, like, who knows what you'll learn about me today.
I know. I'm sad that we lost the whole bit we did about your car in high school and how guys are so much hotter in Jeeps.
Yeah. I had a Jeep in high school that was basically, I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah,
they weren't the Gloria days, but you know,
they were pretty close.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this first question from Sharon.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh.
All right. Sharon writes, my question, one that stumps me every year, is how to get the salt stains out of my leather boots. I often spray them with a snow, rain, and salt repellent spray, which sometimes sort of works, but never very well on salt. And you know, even if you wear your heavy-duty snow boots out for the most part during snowstorms, there's always the day the weather catches you by surprise and you get caught in your favorite boots.
Literally always, and it's always the suede ones.
Yes, every time.
Every time.
You know, tramping through the snow and picking your way through gigantic, cold, awful puddles. The relief of getting back indoors is usually dashed the next day when I look at my boots and they have that gross white salt line going all the way around them. Is there a way to get rid of it without further discoloring the leather? And is there a great spray and leather treatment you would recommend as a preventative measure?
Indeed, indeed, and indeed. I've got help for all of this stuff.
Yes.
Okay, before I tell you how to get rid of the salt stains and before I recommend a protectant for you, I want to give you just like a brief primer on protectants and what you can expect from them. First of all, I definitely want you guys to use them, but I also want to say this. I live here in the real world with you, and I know that most of us are getting our new shoes, our leathers, our suedes, our, you know, whatever they are, our canvas sneaks, all of that. We're getting them home, and we are not immediately applying our protectant before the first time we wear them. I just know because I live in the real world and also because I do that. I think the one time I was like legit good about it was when I bought my most recent pair of Uggs.
Yeah.
Which are like also like Ridiculata Jolie Uggs. They're like the navy ones. They've got the satin ribbons on the back. Like they're peak Jolie Uggs. they've got.
But I also think is interesting too because it comes from like seeing what happens to a pair of Uggs over their lifespan. Oof. And then seeing what they look like when you buy them. And they're just like, you know, untouched, like virgin Uggs. And it's like you want to take care of them. So like I get that, like that instance, like, but you know, we're talking about something like a leather boot or something like that. As soon as that thing comes, I like rip open the box, and if they fit, they're on and I don't take them off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Cause you gotta wear them. You gotta floss.
Oh man, I had super. I had an
John's
incredible...
flossy, you guys. You can't see him, so you don't know this. But John is very flossy.
I'm extremely reckless when it comes to spending, and I blame that on most of my career. But I've been actually in the
occupational hazard.
Yeah, and I've been in the market for a new pair of black boots for a very long time, and just none of them out there that fit me. I had one pair that was so good, and they didn't make them in half sizes because the world is stupid.
The world really needs half sizes, is the thing.
And I got them. I followed that. They were like, I'm a 9.5, so like, you should get a 10. That's what it said. They came, they were so good, and they were like, just like, really fancy fucking combat boots, and I love them, but they didn't fit. And now I just walk around.
You couldn't get the insert thing that makes them smaller. I have to do that because I have like in between feet.
Yeah,
maybe. I have tiny feet.
Maybe I could have done that, but they've been returned. So
too late.
Anyway, we need to help Sharon out.
We do need to help Sharon out. Okay, so here's the deal with the protectant. I really want you guys to use it. What protectant will do is it will create a barrier between the elements that land on your shoe and the leather or suede itself. What it will not do is it will not prevent the salt from happening in the first place. The reason that you want to use the protectant is because when the salt does happen, it's going to layer on top of the protectant, not on top of the leather directly, which is going to mean two things that are very, very good for your leather and also for your suede. One, it's going to mean that when you go to take the salt off, which I'm going to tell you to do and how to do in a second, it's going to come off much, much more easily. The other thing is that salt is very drying to leather, and you don't want to dry out your leather, because what will happen over time as it dries out is leather will crack. You know, it's a hide. It's like our skin. Like, if you don't moisturize your skin, it's going to get dry, and eventually it's going to crack. Leather is exactly the same, because it's just some other creature's skin, basically, which is a weird and creepy way to think of it, but it's true. So if it does crack, that then goes into a place that's beyond what I can help you with, because it's not cleaning, it's damage and repair, and oftentimes it's irreversible. So I want you guys to be pretty diligent about removing salt stains when they happen. It's super, super easy to do it. Here is what you need to know. You are going to use, surprise, surprise, white vinegar. White vinegar. What you're going to do is you're going to dilute white vinegar with equal parts water. You don't need a ton of it, like maybe like 2 or 3 tablespoons of white vinegar and 2 or 3 tablespoons of water. You don't need a lot for the separation. Put it in a little bowl. You want a soft cloth, like an old t-shirt would be great, an old sock. John is like super partial. He's like devoted to the old white t-shirt.
Yes.
I
don't think I got to tell you that whole story either. Old t-shirts.
You just said it was an Italian thing.
Well, it's an Italian thing, but it's also like, it's like a thing that goes back to the past too.
Okay.
Like my childhood.
Oh, okay. Let's see if we have time for it, I'll have you tell.
Yeah.
So old t-shirt is great. Like a chamois cloth is fine. I've taken to using, I have some gym socks that are too thick and I don't like them. So I've repurposed them as my like leather care socks, and I love it because they're like ankle socks, and I put them on like a mitten, and I can smear on whatever product I'm using, whether it's polish, whether it's vinegar, whether it's leather conditioner, and then I can turn it around my hand and have the dry side and just buff all that out. So like, I loved that. All you're going to do is you're going to dip your soft cloth into the vinegar solution that you've made. You're going to apply it to the leather in a circular motion, and it's going to take the salt right off, especially if you've used the protectant. So easy, easy. But there's one other thing that you really, really, really have to do. It's super, super important. So as I said, the salt is drying to leather, but also the vinegar is drying to leather. So once you've gotten the salt off using vinegar, you have to go in and put some leather conditioner on. You only need a tiny, tiny amount of it. Same thing. You're just going to apply it in a circular motion with a soft cloth, then turn it. Turn your cloth to a clean side and just buff it out. But you really want to do that because, again, when we're talking about leather being a hide, it is just like your skin. So like if you were to wash yourself with soap and then, which is drying, and then not put moisturizer on yourself, your skin is going to dry out. It's the same. Yeah. It's the exact same
especially
thing.
Especially in the winter.
Yeah. It's the exact same thing with your leather. If you apply vinegar and salt, and then you don't put some moisturizer in the form of leather conditioner on it, you're going to have dry leather. It's going to crack, and then I can't help you with that. So
yeah, I've been there many times.
Let's not let that happen. Now, I want to detour. We're going to talk in the second segment about Uggs. We have a very Joel-ish question about Uggs, which is code word for Jolie's going to be talking about barf today. What I
just
do best.
Another day.
Yeah, it's a day ending in Y, so Jolie's talking about barf. So before we're gonna talk about Ugg care and suede, but I want to talk about specifically salt stains on suede because there's a different thing you want to do with that. You can use the vinegar. The only problem with using anything liquidy when you're talking about suede is that you can end up with water stains, and we kind of don't want that. So while you can use the vinegar solution, it's actually not the ideal thing. Ideally, what you want to be using is you want to be using a suede eraser. Do you know what these things are, John?
Yes, I love them.
Okay, they're amazing, right? Yeah. So here's the thing, actually, like, because we lost the first round of this episode, I you know, I was fine. These things happen, right? And John could be back here and he's a hero. But also I was saying to him this morning when we rolled in here, I was like, you know, this is actually kind of good because I realized when we did the first round, I didn't talk about salt stains on suede and I didn't talk about the suede eraser, and they're crucial. They're crucial. So here's the deal with the suede eraser. It's exactly what it sounds like. You can also use like one of those white art erasers. You don't even have to go and buy like the thing called the suede eraser. However, you cannot use a colored eraser. So like a pink or green pencil eraser. Don't do that because the color will transfer off onto the suede and you don't want that.
Yeah.
But you buy suede erasers. Ideally, I want you to buy the suede eraser because you buy them in a kit with a brush. And the brush plus the eraser is really, really good. Kiwi makes one of those kits. It's like $6. Yeah. It is well worth the money.
I mean, generally, do you use Kiwi generally for all of your stuff?
Yeah, because it's what my dad used.
Yeah.
So, like, not because it's the best. It's just because it's, like, what the brand I grew up seeing.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is kind of cute.
Yeah. You know? Before, so, Jilly did mention all, like, most of my previous jobs. There's one that was not on there, which was when I was a shoe shiner.
Wait, I didn't know about this.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, my God, John.
I am an expert shoe shiner. I did it. This was like summers between college, I think maybe.
Okay.
But yeah, I would shine shoes like a beast. And I will tell you, there's nothing more thrilling than a brand new suede eraser that's just like totally untouched.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously using it is like fun. And I'm assuming since you guys are listening to this podcast, you would probably agree that cleaning can give you like some kind of thrill.
Our idea of fun on this show is a little different from normal people's.
And then I swear to, polishing shoes really refers more to leather that we'd be talking about there.
Right.
But my God, like when you see what a little, just like a tiny bit of care and can do to bring back your shoes, it's insane.
It's
like
so
a whole new, it's a whole new life. And I prefer to see my shoes really beaten up and worn in, but so to each their own on that, I guess. But also it's a Kiwi for life when it comes to shoe care.
Yeah. 10,000%. So, when I was saying that my dad, I use it because it's what my dad used. My dad has been on the show and I actually had him talk about polishing shoes.
Oh.
Like, because he went to a military school. So they had to, shine their shoes every single day. And, he also knows how to spit shine and do all that stuff. So like, I was like, daddy, you're here. And you taught me this, and so, like, I'm just going to have you teach my audience.
Yeah.
And so that's, like, just to, like, bring it all around to that. Okay, so suede eraser. You're literally just use it the way you use a pencil eraser. You're just going to rub it right on the suede. It's going to take the salt right out. The brush is great, too, because the brush isn't going to take out salt stains, but what the brush is going to do is it's going to remove any kind of fine dirt and grit, and it's also going to restore the nap of the suede. So what you want to do is you want to use the eraser first for stains, and then you want to just give it a quick going over with a brush, which will like take off all of the basically the grit and dirt that creates dinge. Like, it's not the stuff that you necessarily would see, but when you do the brushing, you'll be like, oh right, this does look a lot better. And it will restore the nap. So go ahead and get one of those if you've got some suede. With leather, if you don't put the protectant on, it's not going to be the end of the world. With suede, you really need the protectant. So that brings me to, let me give you a recommendation for a brand of protector. There is a brand called Collonil, Collonil. I also want to give you a recommendation for a leather conditioner. I use Cadillac, which was recommended to me by the people at Koyana when I bought my first Koyana bag. Though both of those brands are brands that like the girls who are super into their bag, like the Purse Forum set, loves those brands.
Experts.
Yeah. But there are lots of good ones out there. I just want to give you brand names because I know that that's super helpful. So that's the basic of the salt on the leather and the suede and what you need to know about that. So let us move into our next question, which is from Emily. I have John read that for us.
Okay. Here comes Emily's question. Hello, a clean person.
Hello.
This was a joke we made on the last time we did this, but I'm pretty sure that's addressed to Jolie. Because although I do talk about the thrill of a suede eraser and a shiny shoe, I'm also a disgusting disaster of a person.
That's the best people because you guys keep me in work. I say this every single week because I like my guests every week are like, I'm a mess. And I'm like, good.
My apartment is a disaster area, but my clothes are,
are impeccable.
Yes,
yeah.
I can't let them down. Anyway. All right. Hello, a clean person. I got some lovely black hunter boots for Christmas this year. Given that it was a pretty mild and rain-free winter and spring, I haven't gotten much use out of them. In fact, I wore them in March when it was a light snow and slush type situation and put them in my closet and haven't had the opportunity to wear them since. I was cleaning the other day and went to move them and noticed terrible salt stains all over the boots. Awful. I tried cleaning them using the recommended instructions, dish soap, but this did little to remove the stains. What's a girl to do? Is it too late? Did I wait too long to rinse the salts off and ruin my beautiful boots?
No, you did not wait too long. Don't worry, Emily. Help is here.
This is just like, for some reason, at two points in you saying that sentence, I flash back to Mrs. Doubtfire. And then when you said help is here, I was like, help is on the way.
God, I haven't seen that movie in so long. I feel like I don't remember any of it.
Because it reminded me of, there's a scene. I can't remember, but at the very end when he is like filming the show, like as Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mm-hmm, yep.
People, like children send in letters and there was, he always responds, he's like, oh no.
Okay, so here's the thing. One, it's not too late. We can totally save the boots if they're salt stains. I like that in Emily's letter, and this is true for a whole bunch of them, they're like clearly people who have read the Jolie Care canon because she already knew the basics of what to do for boots. But she didn't know the specific like stain thing.
Yeah.
But there's actually another layer to this, which is I am pretty much 100% sure that those aren't salt stains. I think that there's something else. Before I can fix that. Don't you guys worry. I can't fix everything, but I can fix this one and I can fix a lot of other things too. But before I get into it, I want to give you guys your general rubber boot, hunter boot care tips, super, super easy. Literally soap and water.
Yep.
Like rubber is so easy to clean. It's not fussy, right? It's not suede. Suede is temperamental. Rubber is not. So soap and water works. You can also use Windex, which is what I use because it's just easier for me to like literally spray my boots, take a paper towel, wipe them off, and go. I have two pairs of hunters. Because my first pair sprung a leak, which is a bad quality in a rain boot.
Yes. Bad news bears.
But they were like, they're still functional enough that like, I wouldn't wear them in a huge storm, but I can wear them on like, just like a soggy day. And they're black. So I wanted to keep them. And then I got a second pair in hunter green. So I have two now. But I'm like super fussy about my hunters. And I have a weird thing with my gait. We talked about this last time. I have a weird thing with my gait where I kick up dirt onto the back of my legs. So the back of my hunters are constantly like New York City, like road grime splattered.
Yeah.
And I hate that because I'm me. I just hit them with Windex and a paper towel and it's great. You can also use white vinegar, which leads me into, if you did get salt stains on your rubber boots, white vinegar would be the thing. Actually, honestly, soap and water would take it out because, again,
it's all rubber.
Rubber is not temperamental. Here is the thing, however. I am, as I said, almost 10,000% sure that this is not actually salt because it would have come right off because rubber is not temperamental the way suede is. I think what it is bloom. And bloom is a term for when rubber develops these sort of chalky white patches. That it's a natural occurrence in rubber. It's reversible. I'm going to tell you what to do about it in a second. But I also want to say this. There are a lot of people who like the appearance of bloom on their rubber boots. It's kind of a thing among the welly set.
There's two camps of the welly people.
There really are, actually. I mean, it's a kind of divisive thing.
Some people... I mean, I honestly don't know where I would stand on it from a visual perspective because I don't wear hunters, but I've had a pair of hunters in the past, and I think they did get a little bit of the bloom on them, and it almost felt like. like when I would see other people have the bloom on theirs, it almost felt like theirs were like worn in. Mm-hmm. Like it was like a sign of like.
It was like you earned it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like you don't really have to, obviously, you know, as Emily says, you don't really have to do anything for bloom to happen. It will happen right. on its own.
Happens naturally.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I think I'm anti-bloom just because I'm so like. I'm fussy like suede.
Yeah.
Jolie Karen suede, very similar. But if you guys like it, like you can leave it. But if you don't like it, here is what you do, right? And like this is it's you're all gonna groan when you hear this because it's you're gonna be like, damn it, I should have thought of that. But you wouldn't think of it because why would you think of it? It's my job to think of these things. You're gonna use Armor All Tire Shine. Mm-hmm. Literally, like, because it's rubber. It's the thing you'll use for it. However, you do not need to run out and buy Armor All Tire Shine if you don't want to, because you can also use olive oil or, like, any cooking oil.
Mm.
What you're going to do with the olive oil is, again, just like if you were using leather conditioner, shoe polish, or the white vinegar to take out salt stains, you're going to apply it to the bloom in a circular motion using a soft cloth, and then you're going to flip the cloth to a dry, clean side, and you're going to buff it out. Mm-hmm. And that is what you do about bloom. Super, super easy. So, Emily, hope is not lost.
I will also, one thing I thought was really interesting about bloom, too, is, you know, this is a process that also happens to chocolate, right?
Yes. 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 Yes.
And when it comes to chocolate, bloom is a bad thing.
Right, because it means it's old.
Yeah. And it's like, I think it also happens, it means it's old, and I think it's, I'm not 100% sure about this, but I think, you know, I know a lot of people choose to, they will freeze chocolate or they'll store it in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate should be stored at room temperature.
Right.
And I think if you put it in the fridge or the freezer, it accelerates that process.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember I used to do that, and I thought that it was just like frost.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had no fucking clue what was going on.
You didn't know about bloom yet.
And I actually was like, oh, like, I mean, you know. And then I met a chef who was like, under no circumstances should you be doing that. And I was like, I thought I was like a prodigy of storing chocolate. But it turned out I was just a moron. And like, I wouldn't. So if you
but
have, if you
moron.
Have, yeah. And if you have chocolate that has bloom on it, I would not take tire shine to it.
No,
that
don't put olive oil.
Yeah. Although olive oil might be delicious.
Olive oil probably would be delicious. And a little salt, maybe.
Oh my God.
Ooh. Mm. All right. Well, listen.
I had a chocolate peanut butter sandwich right before I came here.
You had that on Thursday, too, for
yeah,
breakfast.
It's my daily it's breakfast.
Breakfast.
So good.
I'm like, I was wondering why you weren't. You guys, I brought dry Italian cookies for me and John, since we're both dry and Italian. I love that. Like, I got an Italian cookie platter. Oh,
oh my
make
God.
Me go wild.
Well, the cannolis, like, I'm just like, mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And then, cannolis. I mean, Italian food is... Italian food is the, you know, it's the Sistine Chapel of food.
Mm-hmm.
Of food genres,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, Italians know
Italians do it better.
Yeah. Italians know things about food and life that, you know, I come from a very, very Italian family, but, you know, we grew up in the United States, but like,
yeah.
So maybe I'll do like an eat, pray, love thing and just be like, wow.
Yeah.
Give it all up.
I'm with you on that. I'll join you.
Maybe I'll just do the eat thing.
Just the eat part. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the love.
I mean, I have the love right now, so I'm
yeah,
like,
I mean,
yeah.
That's the thing.
Maybe I'll just go on vacation. That's what this is going to be. Yeah.
I support that choice, John. You guys, this is a good time to take a quick break. John and I will be right back with more of your winter shoe problems. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr. I'm joined by John Januzzi. We've been talking about your winter shoe problems. And how Italians do it better, I guess.
Yeah. We're going all over the map. Who knows what's going to happen in this next side.
I'm a little nervous. Yeah. All right, we have a great, you know, peak Jolie, clean cast, Holy Grail type question from Harris.
What has happened in your life, Harris? Harris is a brief but very deep question. Hi.
Hi.
What's up, Harris? After a long night on the town, I woke up to find that I had vomited all over my UGG slippers. I threw them in the washing machine, but there's still some vomit stuck in the fur of the slippers. What do I do? Thanks, Harris. Jolie and I have talked about this before.
I have so many questions about that. I feel like Harris, I love that he asked me the question, but I'm a little mad, Harris. I'm a little hurt. I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed. Mm-hmm. I'm a little hurt that you didn't give me details about what led up to this vomiting on your UGG slippers.
I feel like there's a story there.
You guys know I love the stories.
Oh God. I mean, to be honest with you, I was fairly close to doing this last night.
I mean, you had all that tequila.
I know. And it was like, I had the spins too, which is like a very frequent problem with me. I don't know why. And then, you know what I think it was yesterday, actually? For all of yesterday, I just drank straight up tea. And then I was super dehydrated.
Oh.
And then I had tons of tequila.
Yeah.
And some really good roast chicken.
Oh. Yum.
Oh my God.
Now I want roast chicken. Maybe I'll go home and roast a chicken.
Yeah.
Maybe one of these days I'll give you guys my roast chicken recipe on this show. Maybe a bonus episode. That would be a good bonus episode. Jolie hands out recipes on the bonus ups.
I also have a sandwich recipe, and I know that sounds a little strange, but it's like a very involved prep sandwich.
Uh-huh.
I'm with you on this.
All right.
Harris.
Before we talk too much about food, because we got to talk about barf.
I know. We keep circling back to Italian food.
Yeah. Okay. Harris, I got you covered, my friends. Before, however, I talk to you about what you're going to do about getting the last remnants of the vomit out of the slippies, I want to give you guys your general slipper care instructions. So Harris's slippies could go right into the washing machine, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Many of your slippers, actually most of your slippers, can go right into the washing machine. In fact, I washed my slippers yesterday.
Huh.
I wear those little isotoner like slippers that look like ballet flats.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
I wear those because I work from home, so like I don't love to be in like a fuzzy bedroom slipper while I'm working because somehow that feels weird. But the little ballet flat slippers look like shoes.
Yeah, so, and it's like working from home, it's a very delicate balance of like how do you work from home while also not. Like, how do you turn your home into an office environment, basically?
Yeah. And, like,
so
I'm not going to get dressed in, like, full street. Like, I usually work in my gym clothes.
Yeah.
Is my jam.
Oh, I love it. I love when I work from home and I'll come back from the gym and maybe I'll just sit in my gym clothes for, like, 3 hours.
Amazing. I love it. I support that choice.
And then my body starts, like, rejecting the clothing.
It's like, get off me. You're disgusting. Okay, so most of your slippies are going to be machine washable. Most of them can go into the dryer, but on low heat, because obviously you're talking about, you know, rubber and you don't want to put that in super, super high heat. But also air drying is perfectly fine. There is, however, another way to clean slippers that's super weird. This is also the thing you're going to do for your UGG boots. It's like what you're going to do for any kind of shoe that has a furry lining, whether it's real fur or faux fur or, you know, whatever it is, it's furry. And here is what it is. You are basically going to shake and bake your slippers. Mm. So you're going to use cornmeal for this. And I'm going to say this a few times. It's cornmeal, not cornstarch. I talk about cornstarch a lot on this show. That's the stuff that we use for grease stains.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we want in this instance. In this instance, we want cornmeal, the rough, coarse stuff that you make cornbread out of, cornmeal.
Roast chicken and cornbread.
Oh, or like cornbread stuffing in a roast chicken.
Or I could just eat a bunch of corn pops.
Or that.
Anyway, but yeah, so it is crucial because, you know, when you're dealing with cornstarch, it's a super fine, very floury like texture, right?
Yeah.
And so that, you know, I think the reason you want the cornmeal here is because it's got a little more like, I guess, effervescence, maybe? Is that the word I'm looking for?
I mean, I don't think effervescent, but I know what you mean and I like the word.
Yeah.
I think what it is it's got grit.
Yeah.
So that's the stuff you want. So here's what you guys are going to do. You're going to get a bag that you can seal up. So like it has to be big enough, obviously, to fit the pair of shoes, whether they're slippers or boots or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to pick the right size thing. So, like, a big Ziploc, a trash bag is great for this. A grocery store bag is great for it. Like, a shopping bag wouldn't be great because you can't really seal it as much. And you really do need to seal it because you don't want to end up with cornmeal flying everywhere. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to put the shoes into your bag. You're going to put in about a cup of cornmeal, more if they're a big pair of shoes, less if they're a little pair of shoes. You're going to seal the bag up, and you're going to shake. Like, for maybe a minute. Remember, a minute is longer than you think. And then you're just going to leave the bag sealed up for an hour, 2 hours, overnight, for, I mean, however long. What is going to happen with the cornmeal is the cornmeal is going to absorb a lot of the, like, the oils and the dirt and the grit and the dead skin and all of that stuff that's, like, lingering around making the fur of your slippers or your boots look grimy and matted. And it's going to fluff the fur up and all of that kind of stuff. So that's why you want to do the shake. And then you want to just let it sit because it's going to be absorbent. Then once it's sat for a little bit, go over to your trash can, take the shoes out, knock them together a bunch of times, like, to dislodge all of the cornmeal and dump all the cornmeal in the trash. And then that's all you have to do. Now, the one thing that this technique is not super great at, I mean, it will help with it because it's going to dislodge. Again, it's going to dislodge a lot of that, like, dead skin that's leading to odor. But it's not going to completely nuke odor. So here are the two things I want you guys to know about when it comes to, you know, your slippers and your Uggs and smells and stuff. And they do get to smelling because we naturally tend to put our feet in them barefoot because we want to feel that lovely fur. But then also they keep our feet warm, and sometimes our feet get too warm. And so smells will happen. To keep smells at bay, go ahead and get yourself a set of sneaker balls. Sneaker balls are these little, like, they're balls. And I'm such a child that I mentally refer to them as sneaker nuts, because I, like, never met a dick joke I didn't love. So you're going to buy them at, like, sporting goods stores. You can get them on Amazon. Just, like, keyword in sneaker balls and they'll come up. And they come in all different motifs. There are, like, smiley face ones, and there are baseball ones and basketball ones. I wish they made little pucks. That would make me super happy.
That would be dope.
Because that's my, of all of the sports that I get asked about, hockey is the one that I get asked about the most for cleaning stuff.
Really?
Yeah. There's a whole reason behind it too. Like, that I'll tell you the next time you come back. And actually, I just got asked to be quoted for a story that someone's doing about laundry in the Olympics. And one of the questions they asked me was specific to hockey. And I was like, yes, always happy when I get to talk about hockey.
Olympics, I love it.
I'm excited for the Olympics, too, by the way.
Me too. I love the Olympics.
I love the Olympics. I live for the Olympics.
I mean,
love.
To be honest, prefer summer over winter.
Naturally.
But, like, I mean, there have been so many.
But I like the winter ones, too. Like, I love how weird the winter games
are. Oh, yeah.
But, summer games are so much better. I mean, summer games have archery. So,
yeah,
of course,
I mean, in gymnastics, I mean, like, swimming, obviously swimming never ends in the Summer Olympics.
The swimming gets tedious for me. I'm just like, can we stop?
It's so much.
Yeah.
But then also in the winter, I mean, we grew up skiing. I mean, skiing was, like, the only sport I ever, like, excelled at. So, I mean, watching the downhill stuff is incredible.
It's amazing. I love it. Love. Okay. So sneaker balls. So what you're going to do is you're going to pop them right into your UGG boots, your slippers, whatever. After you've taken them off, they're going to keep smells at bay. When smells inevitably do become overwhelming, I want you to get an odor eliminating spray. There are lots and lots of great ones on the market. I'm going to recommend two. Just so you have brands, but, like, don't feel beholden to these two. The two that I generally recommend are Kiwi, Fresh Force, and the other one is Dr. Scholl's Odor X. Both are great. Okay, now let us talk about this vomit sitch here. There are three different ways you can go. So the first thing is you could just run them through the wash again. Mm. Probably, you know, sometimes it just takes a second cycle. The other thing that you can do is I guess I only have two things, actually. Run them through the wash. And then the other thing you can try is you can use your enzymatic spray, you know, your Zouts. Apply a little to the vomit. Basically, what that's going to do, it's going to do two things. It's going to, it's dried on there. I'm sorry, these guys are going to get a little gnarly right now. It's basically going to reconstitute the vomit because it's dried on. And then the other thing it's going to do, obviously, is counteract the protein with an enzyme and break it down. But I want you to use a tool along with that. And here is the tool. And this is also part of your general care tip stuff. There is a product called a slicker brush. A slicker brush is what is used to comb and brush dogs and cats. It is also really, really great on any kind of furry clothing. The one thing I want you guys to know about the slicker brushes is that they come in different gauges. So, like, some of them are for, like, you know, basically, like, thicker hair, and some are for finer hair. I want you to buy the one that's the finest one you can get, because you want to be pretty gentle on your furry things. But those are great for, like, getting stuff that's stuck in, you know, a furry pair of slippers or Uggs out, including vomit. It's also great just for fluffing up the fur. So that's great to know. Now, if you don't want to go out and buy one, you could definitely use a regular comb like that we use for our hair. If you do that with the vomit, I mean, the vomit and anything else really involving your shoes, wash the comb afterwards, just like you'd wash a dish, hot soapy water.
Yeah.
If the psychology of that is too weird, I totally get that. It is fine. It is not dirty to do that, but some of you may be bugged out by that. If you're bugged out by that, go buy the slicker brush, because that's going to do the thing for you. So that's it. That's your jam. So we're shaking, baking, we're barfing on our shoes. We're using dog grooming tools.
The only other thing I wish we had was, like, I wish we did have a visual of exactly what this looks like, because, you know, when I hear that someone's barfed on their shoes, I'm actually picturing an Ugg full of vomit, like a bowl, essentially. Which, you know, I don't, if that's what
like
happened.
Like a shoey of vomit instead of,
yeah, like it had
beer.
To be, like, tipped out and poured, like, ugh, into the toilet. Ugh. And then, you know, that's when it went into the wash.
So gross.
Which, like, because, you know, I'm hoping, I mean, like, because at least in that situation, like, maybe the floor or anything around the shoes would have been saved. I've thrown up enough times from being out on the town, as Harris had mentioned, to know that you have little to no control over where things are going to be going.
Uh-huh. Well, as you know, as regular listeners of the show know, there was, like, the famous story of me vomiting in my own feet last year.
Yes.
That I talked about all the time.
The foot vomit.
Yeah.
Who could forget?
Yeah.
And who among us?
Right. Who among us has not been there?
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
yeah.
My God. I'm just like, yeah.
I should start doing that as, like, a standard question for my guests in the bonus episode. Just be like, tell me about the last time you vomited on your feet, because I know you've done it.
Oh my,
like,
God. And it's so funny.
Everyone's got one, right?
It's so funny too, because, like, it's a bar I'd set for myself when I was younger about where I'd be now. It just, the older I get, the lower the bar goes. Because at this point, I'm just like, if I'm gonna go out and I drink too much, which does happen sometimes, I'm just so proud of myself if I can make it to the bathroom in time.
Yeah.
And, like, even more proud of myself if I can make it to the bathroom and be in a state of mind where I can tell the difference between the bathtub, the shower, or the bathtub, the faucet,
and the toilet.
And it's just like, you know, sink is fine, bathtub is fine. Like, at least it's a contained area and a drain. But, like, you know.
Well, that's the thing. So on New Year's Day, I did this thing where I asked people, I was like, tell me about all the messes you made last night, like on Twitter, right? And I got, like, great responses. It was so funny. It was such a fun day for me.
Yeah.
It was like, it's like clean person Christmas. But the thing that sort of, like, prompted me to do this was that someone had tweeted at me in, like, the middle of the night. I woke up to this and was like, first mess of 2018 was made. Someone vomited in the sink. And he was like, I guess if you're going to nut, other than the toilet, the sink is a great place because it's got a drain. You can just wash it right down. And I was like, yeah, actually, that's, like, you know.
Yeah. And if it has a garbage disposal, because I also, so
gross,
like, a garbage disposal would be helpful. But I eat like a ravenous person. I will eat a meal in like 2 minutes.
Oh, no.
It's really sad because, you know, sometimes I'll order delivery in my apartment and, you know, it takes me like 20 minutes to find something on Netflix. It takes me another 20 to, like, decide what I'm actually going to order. And I've been really into this, like, chicken sandwich thing that I've been doing, but anyway, that's beside the point. But the food will show up. I will, like, press start on the movie, and before the opening credits are even over,
you're just
I'm
done.
Finished. And it's you know, like, people have told me, like, my entire life, they're like, you eat like a vacuum, and I do. And, you know,
you and I would be the worst dining companions because I'm the slowest eater in the
God.
World.
One of my best friends, she is like a painfully slow eater.
Oh, I'm not painfully slow.
I mean, she knows, like, who she is.
Yeah.
But, like, it's
absolutely insane. And then, you know, I'll finish and I'm apologizing for going so fast. And then the rest of the time she's apologizing for eating so slow. And, you know, but so obviously if you're eating fast, you're not really taking small bites.
Right.
So
you're inhaling.
Yeah. When, I mean, I have, I mean, like, it's like a
barnyard. I hope you guys are enjoying Saturday morning chat with John and Joel.
No,
over
it's
here.
Just like, I remember one time.
We have one more question. Don't forget. We gotta do
I know. So I'll just wrap this up. But like, I have seen like legitimate, like whole stalks of celery just fly out.
Oh no.
Like, I don't know what it is. I mean, it's an Italian thing. I can eat an absurd amount of food, which comes from like being a very, very, large and in charge child.
I love it when you post childhood photos of you. Okay, let's do this last question.
The childhood photos.
Because now I'm like starving. All right, this last question is from Joel.
Okay. Joel asks, "Hi, Jolie. I've been amusedly reading your Clean Person columns for a while now. I can even attribute my discovery of OxyClean to you." And then there's parentheses there. Wow, it works really well.
Yay.
And it's true. OxyClean is
amazing.
It's a religion, really.
Yeah.
"I have a pair of leather shoes that got absolutely drenched in a downpour. I took them inside and wiped them dry as much as I could, then stuffed them with newspaper and let them sit until they were dry. However, to my horror, they started growing that greeny gray mold, or is it mildew? I never know. I took to them with diluted vinegar, cleaning them as best I could, and have been careful not to get them wet since. However, they still smell moldy, so I gather that the spores are still hiding inside the shoe somewhere. Can you suggest a method or product to help with this? Thanks."
I sure can. I also, this is another one where he has read the Jolie, well, I mean, he said he read the Jolie Care Canon.
Yeah.
But he already knew what to do. He knew that the thing to do for a pair of wet shoes, so before I talk to you about what to do about the mold and mildew, let me give you your instructions for when a pair of shoes get totally soaked, like when you hit a puddle with your favorite sneakers. Mm. You are going to do just what Joel did, and you are going to stuff them with newspaper. Newspaper is absorbent both of moisture and of odor. And that is a great thing, especially when you've got a wet pair of shoes, because as they dry, they're going to get that like soggy footy odor.
I'm just remembering
shoes.
Converse in the summer.
Ugh.
I mean, disposable.
Yeah. I mean,
toss those at the end of the summer.
The other thing you can do is you can put them near a heat source to dry out. But I want to give you a caveat about that. You want to put them near a heat source, but not like on top of a heat source. That's especially true if you're talking about a leather shoe, because to go back to our first question, leather will dry out. It's just like our own skin. It's just the skin of another creature. And it will dry out. So if you're putting a pair of shoes like near a roaring fire to dry out or near a radiator, just make sure you're setting them back, close enough that they can dry from the heat, but not so close that they're going to be too directly exposed to heat and they'll dry out. Not a bad idea also, if you have done that, to hit the leather with a little leather conditioner afterwards. Now let us talk about the mildew sitch. There are lots and lots of things that you can use, but I have a very specific recommendation because of the delivery of this particular product. So while, yes, white vinegar will work, bleach will work, rubbing alcohol will work, all that kind of stuff, I actually in this case want you to use Lysol. Good old Lysol. The reason I want you to do that is because Lysol is aerosolized, which means that when you deploy it into those shoes, it's going to get underneath the lining where those spores are hiding out. So that's what the problem is that the spores are just in a place that you can't reach to, but the Lysol, because it's aerosolized, will be able to penetrate. So that is going to do it. The other thing I want you to do, it may not be possible because it's wintertime, but if you can, also put those shoes out in direct sunshine. Sunshine will kill mold and mildew. And it has to do with the UV rays. So the other thing you can use, if you have one, don't go out and buy one of these. But if you happen to have one of those UV thingies, which is, I think, the technical term for it.
Yes.
If you happen to have one of those that's like, you know, those are the things that like the extreme germaphobes use to like basically so that they can touch a subway pole without losing their minds. That will also work to kill it. So super, super easy, but really Lysol is totally the answer. Actually, I just looked over, like, we've got a can of Lysol in the studio.
I know, I saw it. So, do you guys know it kills cold and flu viruses?
Yes, it sure does. I love Lysol. I'm all in on Lysol. All right, you guys. So listen, that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person the podcast. Thanks for sticking with us while we were being a little weird today on this beautiful Saturday morning. John, thank you again. You are my hero for coming back
pleasure.
Here.
It's my pleasure. I'm sorry, everyone. He's examining the
bottle of Lysol, the can of Lysol, which I love. I'm glad that you're all in on the Lysol. John, you're my hero. I'm going to have you come back. This was super, super fun.
Yeah, we have lots more to cover.
We have tons to cover. I actually might bring you back in February if you're game.
Yeah, I have no... I don't do anything, so okay. There's plenty of time.
Because you know what the thing is? I want to get you here to talk about... Because I've got to do an episode about, like... you obviously we're in winter, so we're doing all the winter stuff. Yeah. Like, I want to talk about the hats, the scarves, the gloves, all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like you'll go in on it because it does, even though it's a mundane topic, the hat, scarf, glove thing produces a lot of that dirty wash water that I share on Twitter on Wednesdays. And I feel like you and I could have a really, like... good, weird, funny, tactile.
Well, it's also
chat
like
about my dirty water fetish.
Oh yeah, I mean, totally. I mean, like, because that's a fetish that everyone has. They just haven't
they
explored
just don't know it
yet.
That's right.
And it's also
you
I mean,
understand
like,
me so completely, John. I feel so seen.
Well, it's like because when you I think there was some story we worked on a while ago where you were talking about like how to care. Maybe it was cashmere or something.
Okay.
If you know, it was basically like it was something that was going to create wash water. And I remember seeing it, and it's sort of like it's insane what you don't know is there and what's touching your body.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, we can obviously talk about this more in February. But when it comes to like the winter stuff, I mean, if you think about it, it's touching your face, it's touching your neck, and it's not getting cleaned in the same way of everything else is. Mm-hmm. So it's actually really bad for your skin. For guys, mm-hmm. you know, it can cause a lot of ingrown hair, sort of like down at the bottom of your neck.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, and it can be like, you know.
Well, the other thing is, so like when you were looking at the Lysol and you were talking about the virus, the cold and flu virus, like literally, like you are breathing. If you're sick and you're wearing a scarf, which you should be if you're sick in the mm-hmm. winter, you're breathing those germs right into the scarf, and then if you keep putting on yourself, like you're gonna stay sick. So we'll do a whole episode. I'll be in touch and we'll schedule that for February. But I got to get you out of here, and I got to get me out of here. I got to go get some lunch. So yeah, you guys, that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person the podcast. If you like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards I'm offering to my listeners. I would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes. Leave a rating and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to you, my listeners, for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.